We salute all the veterans here and those who are not here this morning. Thank you for that wonderful meditation, Jeff. That was very good. If you would, please open up to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Starting with verse 13, I'd like to read together with you. Here it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. As we look out on the world today, as we see the things happening in the world, we must always remember these words of Jesus, the gates of Hades will not prevail. And we are intimidated by many forces. There are many things in the world that try to silence the Word of God and the Bride of Christ. But the truth is, Jesus always triumphs. And it doesn't matter what happens, because Jesus always triumphs. And so, as we look at the threats, and we look at the problems, and we look at shootings, or we look at all kinds of evil in the world, we need to remember this simple fact. Jesus has overcome death. Death has no sting. And as long as we remember this, then we will stand. We will be courageous, because we know that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And for those who call on his name, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What else do we need to know? God accepts us. Satan can't defeat us. And the future is before us. And so, Satan has been disarmed, and we need to treat him as such. He has been disarmed. Yes, he is powerful. Yes, he is lethal. But the truth is, Jesus is greater, and Jesus has overcome the enemy. And he has infringed upon the title or deed of this world and said that it's his. But we know the truth. The title and deed of this world belongs to Jesus. And he has been taking it back piece by piece, heart by heart, ever since the cross, ever since the empty tomb. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, we read, since the children have flesh and blood, he too, meaning Jesus, shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. Now, did you read that? Jesus destroyed him who holds the power of death. That is, the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Does death scare you? Amen. For the Christian, what is death? Freedom. Isn't it like God to take something that is horrible and turn it into something marvelous? Through the power of the cross. Jesus' death was horrendous, truly disgusting, horrible. Why would that ever have to happen to someone like Jesus? But that's the irony of all that God does. He took something horrendous and turned it into something marvelous. And now the one who held the power of death over our heads, the one who instituted death at the very beginning by tempting Adam and Eve, has been defeated. We are children of a conquering king who never loses a battle. Now that's pretty cool, isn't it? Never loses a battle. The king has conquered, and Christ's kingdom is power. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. Now, we need to bring this into every committee meeting, every elders meeting, every prayer meeting, every meeting. Boy, it'd be great if they could bring this into every Washington meeting. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Now, if only we believed that, because what do we do most of the time? We focus on the talk instead of the power, don't we? I want to show what I know. I want to show what I think. Truth is, that's not what the kingdom of God is. It's what Jesus has said and what Jesus has done and what we have access to, which is power. And God says, you do not have because you do not ask. We have power. In one sense, I'm kind of glad that that murderous person came into a church, because at least then the chances of those who were killed have a better chance, if you get what I mean. Because they were saved. But for the unsaved, it's tragic. And that should break our hearts. And are you tired of evil? I mean, I don't even watch the news anymore. Are you tired of evil and of the effects that it has? Well, then we should be advancing forcefully, because my understanding is when we encounter Satan, the power of the blood of Christ overcomes. Now, we also need to realize when we fight harder, so does he. And there are casualties. But in Christ, there are no casualties ultimately. We know that. But we should be advancing forcefully instead of cowering timidly. Amen. In Matthew 11, verse 12, Jesus said this about his kingdom. Matthew 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And forceful men, I could say, and women, lay hold of it. In other words, those who have the faith to recognize what is said is true. What Jesus has said is true. The kingdom of God overcomes the kingdom of Satan. When we recognize who is speaking, when we recognize the power that our Savior has. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. All authority. And then he says, therefore, go. Go. Cut loose. Run. Go. As you go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I've commanded you. Everything. The Lord of the harvest. Jesus said, pray for more workers. Ask the Lord of the harvest for more workers for the harvest field. Who is the Lord of the harvest? You can see it in the book of Revelation, because he swings his sickle over the earth. That's Jesus. He is the Lord of the harvest. So he's saying, ask me for more workers. When evil asserts itself, get on your knees and start praying for more people to evangelize, for more people to share the gospel of Christ, for more people to challenge the evil one, to look him right in the eye and say, my Savior is greater than you ever will be. Satan, you're a created being. You have limitations, and the Father in heaven has put those limitations on you. You can't touch me unless he allows it. If he allows you to touch me, it's for a greater and good purpose. But you are not all powerful. He is. And so we look evil in the eye and say, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And there is no harmless evil. All of us are guilty of this in one way or another. We tend to think of some forms of evil as okay. We get used to it. Sometimes we even like it. But the fact is evil, and no good comes from it. That's pretty black and white, isn't it? What about the shades of gray? We look at John 3:16, a famous verse, that famous conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus late at night. And it begins in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." Now think about that just for a moment. Jesus was the only one begotten of the Father. The only one. But now through Christ, we are adopted into the family. We were alienated. We were strangers. We were not part of the family. And the world likes to say we're all children of God. The truth is, no. You become a child of God when you accept Jesus as your Savior. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What about those who die in fires? What about those who have been murdered, shot, killed in one way or another? What about them? They have eternal life? Absolutely. For the body may be killed, but the spirit never dies. Because when we accept Jesus as Savior, when we are immersed into him, it means we're resurrected with him. Immediately, your spirit is resurrected with him, so you're alive forever. Your body dies, but it too is resurrected one day. So we are more than conquerors, aren't we? And some people will say, well, there is no bodily resurrection. That's ridiculous. That will never happen. That's scientifically impossible. And the response to that is, if Jesus has not conquered death, then there is no such thing as a Christian. Because Jesus must conquer death, and he did that by coming back to life as a whole being, body, soul, and spirit. He came back and defeated death on every battlefield. Therefore, we are more than conquerors because we shall do just as Jesus did. And if we do not conquer death, then there is no victory for the Christian. And Paul goes so far as to say this: if you don't believe in your own resurrection, then you certainly don't believe in Jesus' resurrection. And if Jesus was not resurrected, then we are to be pitied above all people because we're fools. But then he goes on to say, but Jesus did rise from the dead. And so we will rise from the dead. So we will never perish. We have eternal life, and eternal life is more than just a future thing. Eternal life starts now. It starts the moment you accept Jesus, because the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you, and he begins to transform your behavior, your mind, your intentions, your motives. He teaches you the better way, and he walks alongside you. That's literally what the word comforter or counselor means in Greek. It means the one who walks beside you. And Jesus continues, verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light." Don't we see that becoming more and more obvious? The world loves darkness because their deeds are evil. Verse 20, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what he has done has been done through God. Once again, the irony of God. We were all sinners. We were all doing acts of evil. But now that we've come into the light, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, manifests good works through us, and the world sees the good works that we do. And those works do not save us. They only testify to the fact that we belong to the King of Kings. Evil is evil, but Jesus is light. And the more we love the light and hate the darkness, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about wickedness and sin. The more we love the light, the more we testify by our very lives, our very example, Jesus is Lord. And then we turn the tide. We do not win the world with machines of war, with weapons of war. We do not win the world through philosophy or politics. We do not win the world through wishful thinking. We win the world one soul at a time by testifying to Jesus Christ, by being the example. And so we have to repent from time to time of the things that we do. We have to get on our knees and say, Lord, forgive me, your child, for manifesting more darkness than light. Or for standing up and testifying to the enemy than more for you. In James 4:7, this is really the key, because many of us struggle, many of us fight, many of us have habits and hang-ups, and we think, will I ever overcome this problem? And the fact is, we've lost the battle right at the beginning if we said, can I ever win? Which is what we struggle doing most of the time. Trying to fight as though we were playing God. But James 4:7 has the simple answer to our struggle. Submit yourselves. It's more about surrender in the realm of grace than it is about living up to the law. And too often as human beings, we try to live up to the law. But the secret to becoming the Christian that we want to be, to following Jesus the way we should, is submitting ourselves, surrendering ourselves to God. Saying, I cannot overcome. Would you overcome through me? I cannot stop doing this habit. Could you break this habit through me? James says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, look at it that way. The devil will run from you. How powerful is the devil? When we resist in the power of Christ, the devil runs. He runs. And the world loves to say, look at the evil. Look at how horrible it is. We must do something about this. Let's change some laws. Let's do this. Let's do that. But the church has the answer. Resist the devil. Submit to God. And the world changes. And the light manifests itself because we, his children, want that. We are caught in the balance. We are caught in the balance, the people of God, more than anything else, because we either say, Lord, we want you to be Lord of everything, or we fall to the darkness and say, oh, isn't that terrible? There's nothing I can do. Really, Jesus said that the gates of Hades will not prevail against his church. And I think too often we stand alone instead of together. He also knows this. When we stand alone, we are easier to defeat. When we stand together, he cannot defeat us because we stand on the rock. And the rock never moves. The rock never shakes. But when we forget we stand on the rock, we fall to the devil's power. We fall to fear. We fall. So we've got to hate evil. We have to hate evil. And more than that, the effects of evil on people. We need to have broken hearts for the lost. Our hearts should be truly broken for the lost. And God's love, it must be sincere in our hearts. Romans 12, verse 9 says this. Love must be sincere. Once again, what is the lost world craving? What is it looking for more than anything, whether it recognizes it or not? What is it looking for? Real love. And what do we have as the first gift in our arsenal? The love of God. We are loved despite our weaknesses. We are stronger than the evil one because of this very fact. God's love. God so loved the world. Love. That's where it began. And that's where it ends. Love must be sincere. What do people pay attention to? Authentic love. Hate what is evil, because evil does not love. Evil is selfish. Evil says, what can I get? Evil says, I want people to see me. Evil says, look at all of my accomplishments. Evil says, why does she get more attention than me? Love is sincere. Love is self-sacrificing. Love keeps no records of wrong. Love never fails. So we're told by the Apostle Paul, hate what is evil. Cling. The word implies hang on for dear life. Don't let go. Grab tighter. Cling to what is good. And in an age where, like the old frog in the pot metaphor, where you're turning up the heat and the frog doesn't notice how hot it's getting because it's slowly getting hot, that's us. We're not paying attention to just how much evil is asserting itself around us. However, this should not intimidate us, but cause us to fight harder. Cling to what is good. And when people say, well, that's not bad, in our hearts we say, yes, it is. Jesus said so. I love you, but I don't love what you say. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. That's a hard one, isn't it? Be patient when the fire gets turned up. Faithful in prayer. How many of us pray a lot or pray faithfully? Or do we forget? How many of us pray? We have to be faithful in prayer. We have to be praying against the evil that we see. We have to be praying for the lost to be found. We have to be praying for workers for the harvest field. It says, share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Hospitality is really an attitude. Well, most of what Jesus teaches could be called an attitude. But hospitality says, I'm opening up my heart to you. Not because you deserve it. Not because you're so wonderful. But because Jesus loved me. God loved us first. Then we love others. Hospitality says, you have a need. I want to meet it. It's not just putting someone up for the night. It's more the idea of, you have a need, I want to meet that need because God has been gracious to me. God has been good to me. Because we are children, soldiers, if you will, of an advancing kingdom that cannot ever fall. There's an everlasting kingdom. Jesus described it this way to Daniel. A rock was cut out of a mountain, but cut out of a mountain without human hands. Has nothing to do with man. It's not man-made. And the rock crushed, smashed, destroyed all of the world's power. And the rock became a mountain that filled the whole earth. Now, does it sound like that rock lost a few battles along the way? Or does it sound like that rock just keeps advancing and will never stop? One kingdom stands, the other will fall. And in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel tells this account of what he saw in a vision. Daniel 7:13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Now, who is that? Coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, that's the Father, and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion, now hear these words, his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Christ calls us to serve now, to reign with him later. I don't understand that. But he wants us to reign with him later. To he who overcomes, Jesus tells the churches, will have the right to sit on my throne with me. I don't understand that. But I read verse 27 of Daniel 7, and it says this: the sovereign power and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints. Do you see that? The people of the Most High. The kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. Bring it, Jesus, bring it, please. Imagine a world where Jesus is president and Congress and Supreme Court. Are you good with that? I'm good with that. But when will he reign? His disciples asked this question, when? But when? Is it now? In Acts chapter 1, they ask this question. Is it coming soon to a theater near us? You know, is it almost here? And we all cry out, oh, please let it be soon. Some don't cry out, let it be soon. Some are like, oh, I better get my life in order before that happens. Well, then you don't understand the power of grace if you think that way. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 says, so when they met together, this is after Jesus rose from the dead, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is it happening now? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Notice when they ask this question, he never says, well, you idiots, Israel will never be restored. What does he say? It's not for you to know the times or dates. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And notice that Jesus didn't rip their question apart. He simply said, that's not for you to know. But serve faithfully, because it will come. Serve faithfully. So as we see evil assert itself, serve faithfully. Serve more. First and foremost, pray. That's something we can all do. Amen? Turn the TV off. Turn it off, because it's consuming. Or turn your technology off. It's consuming most of your time. And then you say, well, I don't have time. I don't have any time. Or whatever it is that is consuming you and saying, you don't have time. Take those idols set them to the side, and ask God to respond, because he said, ask, seek, knock. Seek first the kingdom of God. That should be your heart's desire, the kingdom of God. Now, when we say the kingdom of God, that doesn't mean just accepting Jesus, getting baptized, and then, you know, okay, you're a Christian now, you know, that's it. No. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, your heart's desire should be for Jesus to reign on earth over all things. Your heart's desire should be for Jesus to be Lord of all, including your own heart. Your heart's desire should be for God to be God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen, church? Nothing else before that. Seek first the kingdom of God, and evil will run away when you do. So if evil intimidates you, it's time to put evil back where it belongs, under Christ's submission. And in your own heart, set apart Christ as Lord and let him be your Savior, your leader, the fuel for your fire. Because we are more than conquerors, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against us. Don't let darkness intimidate you. You intimidate darkness. Amen, church? Please stand with me now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. There is no one over you. You are the ultimate authority, the ultimate power. There is no one greater than you, and your kingdom will never perish. Your throne is established in righteousness. Your throne cannot be moved. No power, no government, no authority can challenge you. The Lord sits in heaven and he laughs when people rebel and say, we will overcome God. No one is like you, and no one can defeat you. And Lord God, it's good to be on your team. It's good to know that you love your children, that you've lavished your love on us and called us children of God, called us your sons and your daughters. For this we are truly grateful. And Lord, break our hearts for the lost. Lord, help us to see what you see, to agonize, to be pained, disturbed by the destination of those who do not call on the name of Jesus. Truly convict us, Lord, and forgive us of our sins. Forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to cling to what is good and to hate evil. O Lord God, convict us. Holy Spirit, move among us. Break our hearts. Lead us into a spirit of deep repentance and transformation. Almighty God, we are nothing without you. We pray for our nation, which appears to be struggling, perhaps falling. Lord God, rally your people to pray, that we might bring the gospel to all the ends of the earth, that we would not propagate evil, but we would propagate what is good. Father, we pray for any who have not submitted themselves to your spirit, to your conviction, to the name above all names, the name of Jesus, and we invite them to come. And Lord, we pray that you bless all of us to grow deeper and stronger, deeply rooted into our King and our Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.